Did you call bank? I called game.
Welcome back to Calling Bank. We have a huge episode this week. We are 1 week out from the 2020-2021 season, and it's very exciting. We're going to speak about the top games of the first half, some huge player news, ESPN's top 100, and a bit of resting. R&R. So, Will, Luke, thanks for joining me today.
Harry, pleasure.
Harry, it's always a pleasure. I mean, you didn't mention preseason, Harry, which I know is your favourite time of the NBA calendar.
The real season.
The real season, some would call it.
I mean, as you said today, what, Blake Griffin had 9, 7, and 3. Now, that's a good game for Blake Griffin. Yeah. He didn't tear anything. He didn't break anything.
Sorry, Blake Griffin played. That's it. That's enough for me.
That's a win for Blake Griffin.
Yeah, but you do get to see players play in different jerseys for the first time, kind of get a bit excited about, you know.
I don't think anyone's actually watching preseason and being like, I am happy this is a thing that's happening.
I mean, I think probably some of the players are. I mean, you got to, like, I know you're probably going to say the Lakers, your team, the only team in the league that matters, clearly, has played.
Has
played pretty recently. But if you're, I don't know, the Hornets or
yeah. Who?
Yeah, the team in Charlotte. I know.
Wow.
Do they have any good players?
Not as far as I know.
Okay, good.
If you're one of those teams, you probably do appreciate the chance to play something resembling a full contact game.
Yeah, it's been, what, 248 or something type of
Who's counting?
Games?
I mean, who can say for
definitely
sure?
Definitely them.
All I know is the pre-COVID world and the post-COVID world.
That is, I mean, I think we're still in COVID, although I guess England has now rolled out a vaccine, which is exciting.
No, this, the political.
This is not a science podcast.
No, this isn't a basketball.
We're talking about the science of basketball.
We're talking about something else we don't know anything about.
Basketball. Yeah. All right, so guys, Will, why don't you start? Can you tell me a couple of matchups? Let's pick three matchups that you're most excited for in the first half of the season, which goes to, of course, March, which is when we have the All-Star break.
Which might not have an All-Star game.
There's no All-Star game. They're just 5 days off so that the Banana Club can go for one last time somewhere.
Beautiful.
Yes. Look, Harry, opening day for me. Mm-hmm. Opening day, opening game, Golden State Warriors at Brooklyn Nets. I think, you know, we have been talking about this, the potential for a championship in Brooklyn since KD and Kyrie joined that team. Some people are saying this will be the biggest bust team we've seen.
Who are these people?
People like you.
We want names.
But it will be really good to see Kevin Durant against his old club.
What a cupcake.
But it will be good to see how Golden State look and, again, how Brooklyn look with their kind of big two there.
Can I just say on that, I do agree with you want to see Golden State versus Brooklyn, but I actually think the game on February 13th, which is Brooklyn at Golden State, will be a much more important game. You will now see, after 2 months of the Nets experiment, of how they look, you'll see if the Warriors have any chance of making playoffs, and it will also be Durant's first time back in Golden State. So I think that's got a bit more gravitas to it, but I do understand, like, you want to see this new look game. I get how that could be your pick as well. It's wrong. The game at Golden State, I think, is a better matchup.
Both, but just that matchup in general, I think there's a lot there, and it kind of gives an indication of where both teams are at. And I think opening day is a good way of a barometer for that, really.
Yeah, you say that, though, but Lakers, I'm pretty sure, lost to Clippers on opening last year, and then they won the entire tournament. So
you didn't go through Clippers to win your...
We didn't have to. Exactly. Denver did it for us.
Exactly right.
Thank goodness for the Nuggets. This is a Nugget-friendly podcast.
Yes.
If I say so myself.
Luke, what about you?
Yeah, good question, Will. I mean, I kind of agree with Harry's points there. I also think the other thing I would add is obviously Draymond Green and James Wiseman having COVID will be interesting to see how they come back for that first game. But
I think they're missing the entire preseason as well. So I feel like
they're missing the entire preseason, and then we're saying the anticipated game from Will's point of view is that first game. So we're going to have Kevin Durant playing at center, apparently, and then you're going to have those two guys coming off a potentially deadly disease and playing basketball, playing 48 minutes of basketball. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. But other than that, I'm super excited in general for the season to see the 76ers. Obviously, you know, playing the Celtics, I think, on the 20th of Jan, if that guess is correct.
That is 100% right. Correct.
Wow, that's good. Interesting to see if they, you know, trade away Ben Simmons for James Harden, but we'll get to that later in the show. But assuming they don't have James Harden for that matchup, I think that against the Celtics is always a fun one. I think it'll be interesting to see how Doc goes. A lot of different storylines, trying to make the Eastern Conference, obviously, more relevant, so we don't always have to talk about the Lakers on this podcast.
But even Doc going back to Boston with one of Boston's biggest rivals, like it's that's always an interesting story.
I feel like it's been such a long, I mean,
it's been a long time since 08.
It's been such a long time since 08. And also, like we were just saying before about Kevin Durant going back to Golden State, he already missed a year. So I feel like that's, that in itself is, that's like a distant memory. And then Doc is like a really also, distant memory.
Also, KD on Golden State wasn't a big deal in the scheme of things. Like it wasn't like OKC. When he was back against OKC, they were insane games. Everyone wanted to watch that.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's like, I don't think he left on bad terms. They won two chips. Like, that's not a bad thing. Say where if like AD left, I don't think him and LeBron would be like, oh, I hate you.
Yeah.
But is it my turn to pick
it
one?
It is your turn, Harry.
I'm really sorry, but obviously it's going to be a Lakers game. My pick is actually not against Clippers. Opening night, yeah, maybe LeBron will play, maybe AD will play. Who cares? Lakers-Clippers in the playoffs? Fine. My big game is 21st of January, Lakers at Milwaukee. That time last year when they played, Lakers got absolutely pummeled. They lost back 30 points against Milwaukee. It'll be interesting to see in a shortened season how they fare in January. That's a month after playing against, I would say, arguably, well, definitely the best team in the East and the team that I thought was the best last year. So it should be a really interesting matchup. Obviously, Drew Holiday will be there, which will be a different look for the team, and to see how their bench takes on Montrez and Dennis Schroeder as well. So that for me is probably a pretty big, big fun matchup.
Big and fun.
I just would be interesting to see how the Bucks go again this year, because I mean, regular season obviously is not translated into postseason success, and if they don't win this year, maybe goodbye Giannis.
You don't think if they win you think if they have to win the title?
Yeah,
I think really? I think so. If they make it to the finals and get pumped by a Clippers or a Lakers,
you think that's I think it's actually okay. I don't know about getting completely destroyed, but like I think that if they got to the finals and lost, I think that would actually be sufficient. Again, we're also under the assumption here that he's going to sign. We're getting sidetracked on DeGarnis there, but I'm going there.
That's fine. Let's do
it. Taking the pod in strange new directions.
I mean, I'm going to mention, I'll bring us back on track on something, but yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, I'll look forward to that segue, but he doesn't obviously have to sign it this year, so I don't actually think this year is consequential. If they do win, yeah, I could see him signing it. But if they don't win this year, as long as they do very well, and I think the finals or an Eastern Conference Championship obviously is doing very well, then I still think they're a decent chance to retain him next year. I don't necessarily think this is the be-all and end-all year.
Well, this is the last year he's on a contract.
But he can sign the Supermax as well next season.
Well, it's off-season. He's off contract.
Yeah, okay. So
basically, it's either he can sign a Supermax before December 21.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't, then the next time they can sign him is end of season.
Yeah.
Which other clubs?
I think he'll stay. There you go.
It's not overly surprising, I would say.
Just a sleeper game that no one would have really talked about previously, but I'm just going to throw it out there as well. I'm excited to watch Washington Wizards at Houston Rockets on January 26.
The way you said that was like, Washington Wizards at Houston Rockets.
That's Houston Rockets. No, I am excited by that game just because of the whole Westbrook-John Wall trade.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's going to be a little bit of bad blood between Bradley Beal and John Wall.
Do you think that's real?
I don't know.
I don't think that's real.
I think they haven't played together in so long, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree.
They haven't played together in 2 years.
I don't think there was any bad blood when they were together. I think that was all a bit of a media beat up. But I think it'll be intense.
The matchups are great.
Russell Westbrook is an intense guy, whoever he's playing against. I think playing against a former team, he should be trying to obviously play amazingly like he did against... I'm trying to go back now. Wouldn't they had the series against Utah and he scored like 44 points and they lost? But that kind of performance. And they'll lose, but he'll score 44.
Or absolutely. Like that. It's the Westbrook v. Harden, Beal versus Wall matchup, and I look forward to that.
Mm.
I tend to agree. Luke, what's another pick from you?
Another pick from me? Gosh, Harry, I only came prepared with one.
I'm happy to take another pick while you think, if you'd like.
Yeah, how about that?
So my next pick is 6th of February 2021, which is the Grizz against the Pels. I think it's always fun watching up-and-coming players. Memphis are a team on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm unsure whether or not they make playoffs, I think unlikely. But Ja Morant is reigning Rookie of the Year. Of course, everyone thought Zion was going to be Rookie of the Year. Zion, of course, has a very young team with Ingram and Josh Hart, my personal favorite. I just think it'll be a fantastic matchup. And in the Smoothie King Center as well, which me and Will know is the best NBA center in all the land.
The best basketball venue in the world.
That is apparently the case, Harry.
So we've been told.
Toyota Center, shout out to you. You actually are my favorite.
Toyota Center was the best. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
go see a Rockets game if you can. I know we're in lockdown, but
get over to Houston if you can.
Yeah, just
if you're gonna go for Houston for anything, go just for the Toyota Center. It is awesome.
No, there was that one place we went to that had the beer that was quite good. It had like a four walls.
I think Harry's doing a bit here, folks.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I actually don't remember the name of it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was really delicious.
Oh, good. It was a bar, I think.
Yeah.
I think what Harry's referring to is a licensed venue.
Yes.
It was Harry. A specific bar that was
okay,
good.
Okay,
all
okay.
All right. Well,
all right, back to the Smoothie King.
Yeah, Will, what's your next pick?
I'm going to throw it over to Luke, because Luke hasn't done his pick.
Oh, well, keeping in the spirit of Smoothie Kings, I'm going to talk about the Hornets going to the Smoothie King Center Arena. It's an arena. It's not a center.
I don't know what it is, but it's a stadium.
Oh, you want ball, verb, ball. Two balls.
Two.
Both balls will be playing.
Double ball. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be fun. I don't know. I just think in general, the whole... I absolutely love LeVar Ball. The idea of LeVar Ball interacting with Michael Jordan at the Hornets just is terrific anyway. So that will sustain me probably through the season, no matter how the quality of basketball goes. But I just think it's always fun to watch kind of... Obviously, Zion, I mean, ESPN thinks he's one of the greatest players in the game after he played, what, 20 games last
season? Ridiculous.
So I just think it'll be fun to see how that goes, obviously, against a super high pick in LaMelo. But, yeah, I think LaMelo's a really fun player, too. Obviously, having seen him locally in the Illawarra region recently. Looking forward to seeing how the Illawarra game translates to the NBA.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Let's find out.
I've got another pick as well.
Gosh.
A classic, which I think we've been excited for the past couple of years, because it's similar to the Zion and Ja Morant pick. It's Trae Young versus Luka Doncic. The 3rd of February. And the reason why we're excited about this, obviously we know the picks were traded and what happened there. I still think in their own rights, two phenomenal players. Luka, obviously, I would say a top 10 player. Trae, probably a top 20. But it'll be really interesting to see Trey's development under Rondo this season. And Luka as well, hopefully with a fully formed Porzingis. It'll be great to see. I really think they were a team that could have knocked off the Clippers last season. And I think they've only gotten better.
Agree. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I just hope playoff Rondo for them shows up.
He won't. Regular it's season. Rondo. He doesn't give a shit.
You've forgotten that Luka Doncic is the 4th best player in all of the league, according to ESPN.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say in fantasy, he's probably like the number one pick.
Oh, yeah. If only everything was fantasy, right?
If only.
Yeah, LeBron's the number one pick in the league, isn't he? The number one player.
I know. I think
and he's going to play about 23 games the entire season.
I think I put my email in too late to join the league. So another reminder to all the listeners out there, don't be late to join your fantasy leagues.
That's true.
Don't do that.
Harry, I was going to finish my picks of
Please.
Games that I'm interested in.
Please
in
do.
Another Hornets are getting too much of a mention, but
well,
I
the
am...
Hornets are on... We've got to get them on national TV every game.
I honestly will not even watch the highlights of Hornets games.
I will. I will watch this game. Hornets v Celtics.
Who cares?
I care.
Here's why.
I want to see how Gordon Hayward goes against
and Terry Rozier.
I don't care about Terry.
It's the storyline. They're all ex-players. They seem to move between those two teams.
If it was Jason Tatum, fine. Gordon Hayward was a shell of himself until the playoffs.
Let's find out.
He's got
when
a
he's
a shoe now as well.
He's an alpha dog situation with LaMelo.
Okay, he's not the alpha on that team. Obviously, the alpha is Nicholas Batum.
He plays for the
Clippers. I know he plays for the Clippers, but I still want him to be the alpha. Okay, so
I'm just excited by that matchup, him going back, and I think, I'll be honest with you, I reckon they'll pull off an upset. I think Gordon is going to be really motivated.
I am excited to see how that team looks. Devontae Graham made a huge leap last year.
Terry Rozier
made not a leap. LaMelo. He stayed stagnant. LaMelo will be interesting as well.
And Gordon.
I think their team has too many players that need the balls in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one ball for that team.
There's only one ball, eh? They haven't changed that rule yet.
No, they should.
Maybe this year.
All right, well, let's move on to some player gossip. Wow, this is where we have some fun.
This is the culture corner.
The thumb thing.
This is why we have Luke here.
This is why Luke is here. Let's start off with your boy, PG Backboard 13.
Pandemic P.
Who got a five-year extension.
Four years.
4 year, 190 mil is now the entire contract.
Yeah.
He said, I'm channeling Mamba mentality. I'm going to be a completely different player.
Mm-hmm.
And also, by the way, Doc Rivers is a piece of shit.
And I want to retire as a Clipper.
Yeah. Can we please speak about this? Because everything that happened makes me not happy.
Yeah, so he went on another excellent podcast, almost as good as this podcast. It's called All the Smoke. You can find it on YouTube or your other
With Matt Barnes?
With Matt Barnes and Stephen Jackson. And that's where he said, he was talking about how Doc used him in pin downs, sort of treated him like Ray Allen, which is a very flattering comparison.
Yeah.
I wish I could be treated like Ray Allen, but...
Ray.
I think the interesting thing is, yeah, like, talking about how he was misused and things like that, I think the bigger issue with him was probably... In fairness, I think that last season for him, obviously, was a tough one. Coming off surgery on what, both shoulders, I think. Yeah. I mean, I hate to think how much that would have affected his game. So, I think that...
It would have affected his game a lot, realistically.
It would have affected his game a lot. And I think being on a new team, in a new city, again, with a COVID hit season... I mean, I'm not trying to say Paul George deserves a lot of slack. He does deserve some slack. He is a good player. He's had a lot of very bad injuries. If I was the Clippers, would I pay him? I mean, in the NBA, I guess you don't really have a choice other than to pay a guy like him. I mean, what are you going to
do? They gave up so much.
Exactly. So they've got to extend him. They have to extend him. And I just think that the bigger question now is obviously, like, I think, you know, he signed this extension. Obviously, the question is going to be what happens with Kawhi.
Kawhi's not set.
In the longer term.
I don't know. Like, where does Kawhi go from here?
Maybe he just retires. Like, I actually don't know if he cares.
He cares.
He cares. Does he? I think he cares. I mean, I think he has that aloof personality, but I think he does care. I guess my question is here, the Clippers have paid Paul George. What's Kawhi going to do? Is Paul George, with all these injuries and with this kind of mentality that does seem a little bit like...
Mentally
sort of putting
weak,
blame on other people. Like, yeah, to say that Doc Rivers used me in the wrong way. Like, if you're that good a player, like, you don't see LeBron ever talking about who's coached him.
He used to speak a lot about it.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, he tried to get Eric Spoelstra fired in Miami, but then he started working out. Yeah, David Blatt, okay. But, like, I don't know. I think it's a little bit... If you're that superstar player, you probably shouldn't be saying, hey, my coach doesn't use me in the right way, especially when you've been in the league as long as he has.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, no, I agree with that. I think also what we forget is that last season, the season before, rather, he was a top three MVP candidate.
Yep.
Realistically, the Clippers need to secure him. You just saw LeBron and AD sign extensions essentially through to 2024, with AD even longer. It doesn't make sense for Clippers to not take a punt. Realistically, Kawhi will do whatever he wants. It doesn't matter. Paul George with another star would still be a really good team. And I'm a huge Paul George supporter. I think this season he will bounce back, hopefully on top of Doc Rivers' daughter. Too soon? Not soon enough. Who is happily married to Seth Curry. But I really do think that Paul George will be unreal this season. I still don't think the Clippers will be enough to beat a Milwaukee, to beat even a Miami or a Lakers.
I think you made a correct point there. I think people are massively underrating now the Clippers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just given how they fell apart. I think Ty Lue is probably going to be net beneficial to them. I think their team is virtually unchanged. Their starting lineup's virtually unchanged.
But the issue is who's the leader on the team? We've had this discussion.
And that's... We'll find out. We'll find out. Maybe they'll trade for someone. I don't know. We'll find out. All I'm saying is I think they're underrated. I think Paul George has copped a lot of grief, and fairly so, because we expect better.
But Kawhi was also terrible in that Game 7.
But Kawhi's not coming out and blaming his coach. Like, I think
Kawhi's not saying anything.
Right, so, but that's the point. I think if you play badly, the expectation is you either come out and say, like, yeah, I play badly, or you don't say anything at all.
Yeah,
You don't come out and say, well, it's not my fault, it's all the other people's fault.
Yeah.
When I'm the guy on the team, like...
I mean, the thing is for the Clippers had to do this. Good for George that he's now in LA and he'll probably retire there. I mean, now is Kawhi. If Kawhi stays, then you literally have both LA teams with their two stars.
Till 2024.
Till 2023, at least. Because we haven't even talked about LeBron's extension, plus AD's extension, plus this now.
Yeah.
Kawhi stays, that solidifies those two teams as playoff teams now for the next 3 years, unless horrific injuries happen.
But realistically, for all of them, besides AD, they all retire after that next 5-year contract. Paul George is what, 30?
I don't know if they retire or they just go less.
Well, LeBron definitely does.
At the end of this contract, Paul George either retires or he's
takes
in
a
like a Carmelo situation. Yes. Not that bad, but like he's injury riddled.
Yeah.
Riddled with injury. We can't overestimate how many. You forget the leg injury he had in Indiana and things
like that.
Broken leg, now both shoulders. But he was amazing when with OKC in that season. And but the thing for him is he hasn't really gone past, went past the first round last year, but hasn't gone into the kind of finals since the Pacers days.
Yeah.
Like early Pacers days, really. Yeah. It's been years.
Yeah. Kawhi's got to lead the team. I think everyone knows that. So
but he won't.
I
still think chemistry is always going to be an issue. They need someone, even like a Luka, honestly, someone that can lead the team. I would trust Luka over Kawhi Leonard, even though Kawhi has got two chips.
Interesting.
That's just me. While we're talking about good leaders, should we speak about Kyrie Irving being fined $25,000 for refusing to have media access and then doing an Instagram post calling them pawns?
Pawns. P-A-W-N-S.
Yeah. This is a new segment that I wanted to try out on the podcast, which is we're going to do a countdown till the Nets implode. Because I think it'll be before February. What do people think until Kyrie manages to dismantle the entire team? Because this is just pathetic.
Wow.
Like,
sounds like a pawn talking to me.
I think he's got enough controls in this situation where KD can kind of tell him to run it in, and you got Nash as well. And I think the Nash KD
easy money sniper is going to tell him to rein it in with his burner accounts.
Do you think that Steve Nash is going to tell anyone to do anything?
No, but I think it's he has for Steve Nash.
Yeah, but they have respect for him, but I think that I don't know how far that carries. I guess I'm kind of in the middle of where you two guys are at, just taking the the ESPN talk show kind of thing of disagreeing with you both. But
all right, Max Kellerman.
I don't think Kyrie will dismantle the team. I mean, I don't think it's helpful, but I also don't think that the team's going to look at him not talking to the media and be like, oh my God, this is such a massive issue. I mean, I think if he comes out and plays well, we'll forget about this really quick.
Correct.
I think that he's obviously becoming more and more eccentric as time goes on for whatever reason, and the only thing he's damaging at the moment is his quote-unquote brand in the public space. But I don't think he's really damaging
that. He's a flat earther. I don't think people particularly care about his brand.
Well, obviously he doesn't, right? But I guess, the point is, I don't think it's hurting anyone yet. If he plays well, it'll all be forgotten. If he doesn't, then sure, people will be all over him. And he obviously seems like, between him and KD, maybe they are a little more sensitive than other players.
Yeah.
If they start getting hammered in the media because they're in New York, maybe there will be some cracks, but it remains to be seen.
I mean, I'm more on the optimistic side for Brooklyn because on paper that team is top two East / could come out of the East. I don't know about winning it, but yeah, on paper they are one of the strongest teams. Now, whether that actually translates to anything, completely different story, but let's find out.
I mean, Kevin Durant's just come off an Achilles injury. When was the last time Kyrie had a full season?
Again,
they've had a huge break, both of them,
and that's true.
Injuries are one thing. I think worse is kind of what happened to Boston with Kyrie, where it was kind of team fragmenting. Now, you start to see evidence of that, that's when I'll jump off that wagon and say they're not a good enough team.
So the segment basically is just you saying how long it is until the Nets explode. Will and I are not.
I'll make a fun theme song for it. You can
do Minutes to Midnight kind of thing, like the Doomsday Clock.
Yeah, fantastic.
Do you think February?
I think probably March, realistically. But it also depends. It depends on injuries. If Kyrie gets injured, then it could probably last the entire season. They'll be fine because he won't be playing.
But they won't win
anything. So you think him playing is
worse for the team? I just don't know how it's going to work. Look, I'm just excited to see him
not playing. He's got more time in his hands that way.
But I mean, Celtics did better when Kyrie wasn't playing.
Yeah, 100%. 2017 was a great year.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I've got to believe that he's turned a bit of a corner on that. I can't see them coming out and being like the Celtics of that year, where it's just not working. I just can't believe it.
Yeah, and we'll see. But speaking of toxic, fragmented teams, let's speak about James Harden and the Houston Rockets. So the season season starts essentially for him on Thursday our time, which is Wednesday their time. Do we think that he will play in a Houston uniform on opening night?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Do we think he will be traded during the season?
Possibly. The question in this is always, you realize the power of the players in the league because what they have so much power to be like, hey, I'm turning up late, I don't really want to play. And then obviously as soon as that starts happening, their team gets less value back for them. I mean, obviously in any trade with Harden, you were never going to get quote-unquote value back for a guy who's always in the MVP conversation. You're never going to get enough back for a guy like that. But as soon as he starts showing that I don't really want to be here, the Rockets either have to double down and sort of eat his contract or probably do some sort of awful trade. So in my opinion, if they kind of knew that he was already in this train of thought. They should have traded him a month ago. Well, they should have tried to.
I mean, if I'm the Rockets, the number one package I go for is I call up Daryl Morey and say, I need Ben Simmons.
So that is
Ben
the most
Simmons and what, though?
Ben Simmons and picks. I there's nothing else on the 76ers I particularly want. Other than Embiid, but they're not going to give up Simmons and Embiid. You're going to have to choose between one of the two, and you go for Simmons because he's the most similar. But, I mean, you'd go for Simmons and two or three first-rounders, and I would say that's a fair trade. Yeah. But if I'm 76ers, do I do that? I don't know. Like, Harden, for me, his play style demands him having the ball in his hand. It is not Absolutely. A team-based...
And also, he's not a good player in the playoffs. He has shown that multiple years in a row.
But it's because the way that the system is so based. Like, in regular season, again, it's a little bit like the Giannis thing. Regular season, Giannis dominating the ball, it works. Because teams don't have time to prepare, plan, put the ball up, whatever you want to say. Houston, and then there was analysis done. The reason the OKC-Houston series was so close was literally because after Harden passes the ball, there is no movement from Harden. Mm. It is ball-dominant Harden, and that is it. If you're in the 76ers, and you've just surrounded your team full of shooters and everything else, I don't see how Harden and Embiid coexist.
No.
But I don't know what situation you put Harden in and they win. Like, unless he's joining up with another really established star.
Well, I also think if you're the Rockets and you get Ben Simmons on a team with John Wall, I mean, it would be hilarious how quickly they've gone from we only shoot threes to no one on the team can shoot a three.
Yeah.
Like, it would just be a complete reversal in 6 months, basically. So, yeah. I don't like it. I don't like the Harden situation for anyone because, I don't know where he goes. He's good. I mean, part of me always thinks with him, obviously he's an amazing player, but there is a part of me that thinks that, probably you can't win like that. And if he's not in a system which just says you can just have the ball all the time, is he as good a player, obviously, in a system? No. Like, he needs to be in that one way that he's utilized where he always has the ball, and then he's an MVP because, his usage is so high.
Mm. Kind of similar with Russ.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look great if you have a coach that just says, you know what, like, you always have the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna eventually make shots, get rebounds, and get assists. Like, that's just...
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he really fits in with any team, but he could be good, like, traded to a team that's, like, a bottom feeder as their, like, main person.
But he won't.
But he won't be.
For and publicity, kind of thing, almost. Like,
yeah.
Well, he says, I want to win a championship.
Yeah.
He won't go to a bottom feeder. He will veto it because he's got veto power in his contract. And which is why he's only chosen certain teams he wants to go to, of which 76ers are one of them.
I don't get it, though, for his... He turned down a huge extension as well. It doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, what's his motivation?
He wants to win a championship. He doesn't think he's going to win with...
But he's not good enough to win by himself. He's not good enough being the second superstar.
He won't change his game to play with others. So, I mean, he's in a bind, I think, at the moment. Like, if he leaves, he has to completely change, and he will not be an MVP candidate. If he stays, he could have earned a lot of money... And probably never won, but you can be that guy like a John Stockton or whatever, where it's like, oh, he didn't win, but he was pretty great. You know, you become part of that narrative.
What things like this always remind me how lucky certain teams are having certain players, like Lillard for the Trailblazers. Never asked trade requests.
Yeah, but also never won anything.
Yeah, but kind of is okay with that. I
don't believe that they're okay with it. I just think it comes back to the point of, like, if I go to another team, I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to earn probably as much. And I'm also not going to be, like... Dame Lillard, and again, he gets away with it. He's a great player, but people kind of go, well, it's Portland. So I guess they can't really win. He's super loyal. So there's that narrative that's positive in the public space. Like, I don't know. I think that has something to do with it, too.
I think Harden is not the type of player that probably will win a championship. His best shot was in 2012. They muffed it.
His best shot was 2-3 years ago when Chris Paul tore a hammy. That was his best shot.
He was in the finals.
In the finals is more what I meant.
Yeah.
I think realistically, he is not going to change his game. He's not going to do a mellow and go like do that type of thing. He will probably finish the league with nothing.
I think he'll finish the league as, like, one of the best individual players.
Without a doubt.
And that's not nothing. You know, like, I think this is the point. These guys, it's still a job.
Yeah.
They've still got to go where they can get the most money and be the best they can be. And if the best you can be is on a team that's kind of mediocre, but you're the star, that's pretty good.
What do we think about him joining Dallas?
For who? What, Porzingis?
No.
Luka?
So everything but Luka.
Everything but Luka.
They don't have the pieces.
Seth Curry.
Well, he's not there. Josh Richardson, give him up.
Maybe trade back with OKC. They can do Al Horford for James Harden. Similar contracts. It's what you really want.
I don't see that working, I mean, at all.
No, I don't see that.
The problem is Doncic is also too ball dominant. So. Yeah.
James Harden could actually work in a New Orleans type of situation.
He could go to a team with no, like it sounds bad, no good players, and yeah, he could be great. That's the thing.
Yeah, he just can't go to a good team.
He can't go to a team with anyone else who's got a good player who needs the ball, unless they've got an absolute sniper or several of them that don't really need the ball.
Golden State?
No.
I mean, honestly, to God, it'd probably be the best place for him.
Yeah, it could work.
It probably would be the best place.
But Steph doesn't need the ball. He just shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I agree. They could give him the ball there and then just have everyone else on the wing.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
be interesting to see. Look, I think Harden will probably be a Rocket for a while. Mm-hmm. Do we want to briefly touch on the Westbrook-John Wall trade? I think good trade for both teams, realistically. I mean, it's just moving money at this point.
Why?
Because Russ was unhappy. He'll work better with Bradley Beal. I think Washington wins this trade because you know what you're getting from Russ. You have no idea what you're getting from John Wall. John Wall, he played today. He did a nice pass to Boogie Cousins. Well done. But will he last the season? Who knows? How will we play with James Harden? Who knows? With Russ, at least you know what you're getting.
Going honest, I don't like this for either team. From the perspective of John Wall, the only reason you trade John Wall is you're in a win now mode. Washington's not in a win now mode, so I don't really get that move.
No.
Two, is the relationship between Wall and Bill that bad that they had to move Wall? Was Wall unhappy? He was unhappy when he was in a trade disc, because he's been injured, but he got unhappy when he was finding out they were looking to trade him. Why are they looking to trade him? I don't know. Is Westbrook that much of an upgrade, and is it going to hurt Beal? Because all of a sudden the ball's out of Beal's hands a bit more. So
I don't agree. I don't know. I don't agree with that at all. I think that I agree with Harry. It's a better trade for the Wizards. Number one, you get a guy who's something of a star, so you're getting people watching Wizards games, which is a good thing for that team. I think that he goes back with Scott Brooks, who he's had coaching experience with before. I think that that works on that level. And I think that John Wall, you don't know what you're going to get from him at all. Yeah. And now you've got a team in Houston with Boogie Cousins, who's been injured so much. You've got John Wall, who's been injured for so long.
Yeah.
And so Harden, again, back to Harden. Harden doesn't want to be there. And you've got a new coach. So, I mean, they're both bad contracts. So the contracts kind of net out.
Yeah.
But I would still rather have Russ, for sure, at least right now, than John Wall. John Wall might play amazingly and we might change our minds, but right now I think Russ is better.
I mean, John Wall was DC for so long. I know I'm saying
he was, but there's no loyalty.
There's no. And also, Bradley Beal is now DC. And Bradley Beal, I actually think, is a better player.
Of course, Bradley. But we're not talking about Bradley Beal. My worry is Bradley Beal gets pissed off because the chemistry doesn't work as well. At least with Wall and Beal, you knew kind of what to expect. And apparently in the workouts, Wall has looked decent.
Sure, but you're saying that there's the chemistry issue. I mean, Beal and Wall haven't played together for ages. So, and in that time, Beal's really come out as a star. And there's a reason for that, because John Wall wasn't playing. Yeah. So it will be interesting. He's going to have worse numbers than last season, Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. So the question is just, to your point, how much does that annoy him?
Yeah.
Or is he happy winning more games? Because they're going to win more games.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do they make playoffs now? Does Russ push them over to the playoffs? I mean, the top seven in my mind in the East is secure. So that means they come eighth.
Yeah.
They're better than Orlando now. Sure. So maybe they're the eighth seed now.
I think also for both teams, it was just, we need to change something.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we need to make Harden happy. So maybe he'll stay. Beal, let's try something different. We haven't gone anywhere for so many years.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, you know what this is? This is a vindication of what we all said. Well, I think you were more bullish on this, but it was vindication of how bad that Russell Westbrook trade was for Houston.
Yes.
To give up two first rounders and pick swaps as well to OKC for Russ for one season and only to get a first round back for him. I don't know. Shows you how bad that trade was.
It was a bad trade, but I think that if you were the Rockets, you've got to do something. And I think, obviously, we just talked about the Harden stuff, but you can tell these problems have probably been brewing for a few years now. And there's something going on when Chris Paul doesn't want to play with you and then Russell Westbrook doesn't want to play with you.
Yeah, that's
true. There's something going on in Houston that is not necessarily immediately obvious that is quite wrong.
I mean, it's Harden.
It could be the organization is what I'm saying as well.
Yeah.
You've got to look at it. Yeah, probably Harden is part of it, but I wouldn't say he's 100% it. Tillman Fertitta, you don't know what's kind of going on.
Fertitta could be part of it because not wanting to pay tax, and there's been kind of talking about that for a while, but it should be Harden, because players don't really think about tax implications. It's more that Chris Paul, I mean, as he saw in OKC and probably will see this year, is still a good player.
He is good.
And if they kept him, they probably would have done better with him than Russell than they did last year.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that is definitely true.
Look, you're probably right. Washington probably win the trade. I just don't really like
it. It's not a big win. It's not like they're, no. Well, like, we killed it. It's just, you know, it's a win, I think.
Yeah. It's not like the Al Horford trade, which is a real win.
Yeah.
ESPN Top 100. That has come out recently. Do we think there were any huge surprises? I'm going to be honest, I didn't see this. I'm throwing it to you guys because it's like ESPN Plus. I don't have that type of cash
to find out
who's the top 100.
I don't think any of us are paying for premium ESPN.
So maybe we should just do our...
Should I just talk about some of the ones I didn't like?
Yeah, talk about some of them that you didn't like. So, Will, I'll hand it over to you. But I think, should we just quickly go around and say top three?
That I didn't like.
Top three in the league.
Okay, yeah.
So LeBron's number one.
Yep.
Giannis?
Nope.
You think Giannis is in the top three player in the league?
No, sorry, but that's not what they rated.
No, I'm saying us. I don't care what these schmucks are rated.
Oh, of course. Then LeBron, Giannis.
And? I think it's still Kawhi when he plays. Right. Who are their top three?
LeBron, AD at two, and Giannis at three.
Okay, people are just too high off that series.
Yes,
like, exactly. AD is a phenomenal player, and he will be better than LeBron next year.
What I find funny is that after that, they put Luka at four. Yeah. Harden is at nine, to just to put that into context.
Oh, yeah.
Kawhi's at five, so Kawhi is worse than Luka, which I find ridiculous.
And Giannis is six?
Giannis is three.
Oh, Giannis is three.
KD is six.
KD, who hasn't played in a year and a half.
Lillard is seven.
Okay, I give them a little bit of leniency for the KD thing, because where are you? It's impossible to rate a guy who was probably one of the best players in the league who's been injured now.
Sorry, these are the two. There's a couple that I find ridiculous.
There's
the
one that I really don't like.
The top 10 I can get over with. Lonzo Ball at 54.
Disgusting.
These are the guys that they're saying is worse than Lonzo. You've got... Who have they got here worse? I think they said...
Isn't DeMar DeRozan worse?
Yeah, he is. Yes. He's way down the rank.
Which is, he's like 80-something, which is obscene, because he was definitely better than Lonzo. Also, Zion Williamson is way too
crazy.
High.
Well, yes. I mean, okay, if you're going to have him at 19, why is Ja Morant at 31?
Yeah, makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
Are you saying like they're going to make a leap this season?
Sorry, Williamson's at 19 and Paul George is 20th.
That's ridiculous.
Doesn't make sense.
Do they not know that Paul George just signed a 4-year extension? Like, come on, guys.
John Moran came at 31, but Westbrook was 36.
So, I think the point is here, you know, something we don't do on this podcast, obviously, is create unnecessary hype or controversy. Obviously, this is designed to generate clicks. As you said, we haven't got ESPN Plus, but would I sign up for it if I'm going to get dumb hot takes like this? Maybe. You know what I mean? So, that's what this is. I mean, does anyone really in their heart of hearts believe Zion Williamson is the 19th best player in the league after playing 24 games?
No.
I mean, it's either him or Derek Favors. Right. I feel like they're pretty much interchangeable.
Like, it just doesn't... There's no one ridiculous.
Michael Porter Jr. Was 51.
Yeah, I saw that as well, which is,
he barely played this year.
It's people being bullish after the playoffs or after the hype around people. Lonzo has always been, like, a hype type of player because of his dad or whatever it is. He had one of his worst seasons last season. He was... Yeah. Abysmal.
DeMar DeRozan was ranked below John Wall at 82.
Played for like more than a year and a half.
Exactly. And DeMar actually wasn't terrible last season.
DeMar was rated below D'Angelo Russell at 69 and Lonzo.
DeMar DeRozan suffers from being in San Antonio now.
That's true.
And not, like, I hate to say this, but like not looking like a good player. Like what I mean by that is it's nice when people shoot from three and it just switches through the hoop nicely. That's obviously not his game. He has a much more like inside game that doesn't look as pretty, so it's easy to be like, oh, he's not as good.
Yeah, he is.
Whereas D'Angelo Russell kind of looks nice when he plays, if that makes sense. Like, I can understand why the casual fan, you know, obviously not us, but the casual fan would have that.
The pawns, would you say?
The pawns, the sort of little heads, we're the galaxy brains on this podcast.
But I don't know how Giannis back-to-back MVP is below AD.
He should still be number one, realistically. He should be above LeBron.
Well, I think you'd argue LeBron could
LeBron,
be number
LeBron
one.
At number one doesn't offend me. LeBron at number one, no, I go, guy is probably the best player in the NBA. He's just won a chip. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, no, I get it as well.
Giannis not being second straight after, it does not make sense.
Yeah. Where do you think Steve Nash is rated on it? Isn't he playing this season? Because there's no coach in...
I was going to say that there's no point guard in Brooklyn.
There is no point
guard. A new culture where there's just no coach.
Yeah, it's just coaching each other. It's free flowing.
Yes.
It's what Doc really wanted in Clipperland.
It's Luke Walton-esque.
Yeah, geez. Is there anything else we want to speak about on the podcast, or are we ready for opening night, opening week? Because our next potty will be just after Christmas.
Mm. Well, it sounds as though we've already decided what the top eight in the East is going to look like, so that's good with the Wizards.
We have also, last podcast, did the top eight in the West as well.
That's true.
We did both.
Do we think Houston drop out?
I think depends if Harden turns up to training camp. If he doesn't, they're out. If he plays, they're still in. They're still a phenomenal team. PJ Tucker's fantastic. Aaron Gordon's fantastic. Christian Wood, I'm very high on. Mm. And Boogie, if he's anything like his old self,
he could just be okay.
He could still be a 10-7 player.
Even though he can't defend.
That's fine.
He can't barely move anymore. Exactly. I mean, he's had that many injuries.
He can defend better than Kanter, so it really doesn't matter.
Can't play Kanter is definitely can play Kanter.
All right. That's enough hullabaloo for this episode, I think. Guys, thanks for joining us for Calling Bank. We'll be back with a brand new season of NBA action in 2 weeks. I think we're actually going to be covering all the Christmas Day games in a live podcast. We're doing something a bit different, and we're going to have, like, I think 20 people on it. It's going to be insane.
I think there's going to be ribs involved.
Be ribs while we record the podcast. It's going to be very exciting. It'll probably be, a 7-hour podcast? The games start at 4 a.m. They go till about 4 p.m.
Live streaming on Twitch.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Make sure to tune in for that. Like, subscribe, do all the things, and we'll be back in a fortnight.
Thanks, guys.
Calling Bank.
Bye. Did you call Bank?